All right. Good morning. How's everybody? Okay, let's try that again. Good morning. How's everybody? All right. Good to be live, correct? Yes, it is. It's great to be live. I was born in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Anyone heard of Ridgewood? I grew up in Hawthorne. Someone just told me it was Bergen County. Is that correct? Bergen County, something like that. And so it's always fun to come back here. Because as a kid, one of our next-door neighbors, they had a place here in Seaside Heights. So we used to come down here as kids all the time and go on the beach. And I was telling my mom this week before I came up that some of the things I remember most was she would, her and the other mom would take us to the beach to watch the sunrise. And so we go out there as kids. The dads never came. They were sleeping. And but the moms would take us out there, all these little kids, and I remember donuts, I remember that very well, and some milk. I remember it was very dark. We'd watch the sunrise, and it was pretty cool. And then we'd go back and do what? Go to sleep. That's right, we were kids, we were tired, and go back and go to sleep. But that's one of the things I remember most about that. Now that I'm much, much older and get to come back to Seaside Heights, I know the God who created that sun I used to see rise up in the mornings now that I didn't know as a kid. And I've had a born-again experience since then, and so this is the third time I've been to Andrew's conference, and it's always fun for me to walk that boardwalk, because I walked that boardwalk as a little kid, a lost kid. But even as a young kid, we came here for many years. I don't remember anyone handing me a track. Don't remember any open-air preacher. Don't remember any of that as a kid. And trust me, when you talk with people, they remember people like that. I remember as an adult, Santa Monica Pier, there was a guy, he walked up to every single group of people on this pier, every single group. He said, "Can I ask you a question? If you die tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven?" And he walked up to our group. I was on a business trip with a couple of businessmen, and one of the business guys in our group just lit into this man, cursed him up one side and down there, just lit into this guy. And the man just said, "Okay, thank you very much," and he just walked away. But this is when God was in the drawing process with this young guy, okay? I watched this guy. I watched him go around that pier, and he walked up to every single group of people and boldly stood for Jesus Christ. And you know what? That stuck in this kid's head, okay? Because he didn't let that man stop him from being bold, okay? He was all over that pier over in Santa Monica. And I never forgot, because people who share their faith, they stick out like sore thumbs, do they not? Yeah, I was just in the Atlanta airport, and a guy walked up to me yesterday, and he said, "Oh, by the way, I sat next to you on a flight going to Kansas City a couple months ago." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "How'd your talk at Kansas State go?" And he remembered the encounter, what happened and everything. It was all just a guy I ran into yesterday and do that. So that's one reason we're going to talk about prayer and the reasons we do that. So it's good to be back here. It's good to be in Jersey. I've only been here, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 hours, and I've met a lot of lost people in Jersey. Have you noticed that if you're from Jersey? New York, a lot of lost people. So that's the great news, how God's raising up a remnant, an army of people that are willing to hit the boardwalks and willing to fight for your rights. You've had to fight for your rights out here to share your faith on this boardwalk. You don't know some of the things that have gone on behind the scenes with the police and stuff and do that. Also, there's another boardwalk up north just a bit. They literally had lawsuits going back and forth, and the state had to back up. It's your legal right to be on your public sidewalks and your public boardwalks and hand out tracts and publicly share Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Yes, and we need to stand up for those rights. Stand up for those rights, okay? And that's part of where prayer comes in as well, that God just, he goes before us. So we'll talk about it in just a second and do that stuff. So that's why it's always fun to come back up, because I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and you know anything, if you travel enough or if you witness enough, are we losing our rights here in America, yes or no? Oh yeah, it's not the America it used to be even 5 years ago, to be honest with you, okay? But that's okay, it's getting darker, our country's getting darker. Not a problem, actually. It just makes it easier for your light to shine, does it not, in the darkness? Yeah, so it's all on how you want to look at it, okay? And so it's just, we got dark days ahead, that's okay. Bible says they were going to come anyways, all right? But we know who's the light of the world, do we not? Yes, we know there's no need for even that sun I would see rise up in the morning. Actually, it didn't rise, but you know, as we say, it does. And And I every morning at my house, I have when I make breakfast, I have the Bible on CD, so I listen to it as I'm preparing things in the morning and getting ready for the day. And I was going through Revelation this week, and it says in the new heavens and stuff, there's no need for a sun, because the light of God and Jesus Christ is going to be so what? So bright and so consuming. We won't even need for that little bitty sun that heats up this beautiful world that we live in today. I mean, just think about that for a second. And that's the God we want to glorify, is it not? Yes, it is, and do that, okay? Andrew asked me to talk on prayer. I didn't like it when he asked me to do that. I'm going to be honest about it. I sometimes feel prayer is one of my weakest links in my Christian walk. I've come a long way, but I just feel it's a weak link. And so it caused me and drove me to put this talk together, and it's actually been a real good assistance for me. So Andrew, thanks for choosing me to do this. It's helped me a lot as I put this together, and I know it's going to help me as I continue to walk for Jesus Christ until we walk out of here to the throne one day, sometime very soon. So let's pray as we get started. Father, thank you for just being the great God who created this beautiful, beautiful Seaside Heights, Father God. But as we know, Satan's made a good move for this place, not just with the money that comes out of New York and New Jersey for people to buy places, and just the arrogance of our materialism stuff, Father, with the partying down here. But then, of course, MTV decided to do a couple things down here, a spring break special, a Jersey Shore show, and it's just brought a lot of just really negative influence, but it just showed what was here already. There was a big satanic influence anyways, a bunch of evil here, but that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're here to be men and women of God. So good to see so many teenagers here too as well, Father. Thank you for bringing them out. And as you mold and shape us to walk out of here and be these men, women, and teenagers, and even younger than that, for you, Father God, to be bold and do that. Father, remind us, Christianity, we have the obedience part to do, but truly nothing happens in our power. It's all yours. We just have to put our life into your hands and then let you do what you want to do with it. And if we ever get to that point, it is one crazy journey down here. It's a really fun journey to do that. But we know where the journey ends, and we want to make sure at the end of the journey that we've spent a lot of time glorifying you and reaching lost people, the one thing we can't do in heaven as we walk out of here. So, Father, just have your way in this talk. Make sure whatever verse or story, whatever needs to hammer somebody, make sure they're hit with that piece, that we walk out of here understanding witnessing a bit more, but prayer a bit more, but prayer and witnessing and how they go together, Father God. So we're going to thank you for that, and we do. We ask in the great, great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? The words pray, prayer, and praying show up over 500 times in the Bible. So when I was studying all this, you know, if something shows up over 500 times in the Bible, it might be important. What do you think? Yeah, it might be important, okay? One guy said that prayer was an address or petition to God in thought, okay, or word. All right? Another gentleman said addressing and petitioning of God is prayer. The classic definition of Christian prayer is an offering of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. Don't forget that part. Agreeable to his will. Not my will, but your will be done. Thine will be done. I want to make sure my prayer lines up with his will the whole time, okay? In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful and acknowledgement of our mercies, all right? The New Testament's teaching on prayer is dominated by Christ's own example and teaching. His dependence upon his Father, you see that so much as you study through the New Testament. In his mediatorial work, expresses itself in repeated prayer. He spent so much time, it seemed, in prayer, culminating, of course, in the high priestly prayer of John 17, the agony of Gethsemane, and the prayer on the cross. Prayer is an expression of sincere desire. Be careful of prayers that have no passion behind it. You ever seen people pray and it seems like it's a rote memory? I grew up Catholic, and so many of the prayers were just the rote memory repetition. I could walk back into a Catholic church today and do all the prayers that we did before. It was so stuck in this kid's head back in the day. And even though I've been gone numerous years, okay, where is that desire? Where is that passion? As you know, you're connecting with the God of this universe who made you and, of course, made all these lost people on the boardwalk as well, okay? It is not to inform God of matters that he would otherwise be ignorant of. Is God ignorant of anything? No, okay, sometimes, okay, I want to keep wanting to inform God of things, and he knows all things, okay, and I got to get past that point in my prayer life, okay? And the validity of prayer is not affected by length or repetitiveness. Sometimes a short prayer seems to do as much as a long prayer does. I'm out there witnessing, sometimes I send a short, quick prayer up to the heavens, and I've seen things change right before my eyes, okay? So don't worry about length and repetitiveness over and over, sometimes we do. And private prayer is to be discreet and secret, Matthew 6 says. Now, is it okay to pray in public, yes or no? Yes, no problem. You see that in the scriptures, okay? But remember, when you're praying in public, watch your attitude. I think so much of prayer is attitude. How do I look? Are you trying to show off on a street corner? Okay, praying loud so everybody hears you with your nose up just a little bit? Or is it a humble prayer to God, okay, that you're just thankful you have this opportunity to do this? A couple Thanksgivings ago, I was up traveling in Rockford, Illinois. There were 30 of us having dinner at this restaurant. So I told the guy who had gotten us all together, I said, why don't you stand up and, you know, and pray for the whole table before we eat? He said, no, why don't you do it? And so what did I say? I said, sure, okay. So I stood up, okay, got to about the middle, and I told everybody, I said, let's pray before we eat. So I began to pray, okay. Now, as I began to pray, something very interesting happened. The whole room got quiet. Okay, the whole room literally got quiet. So when I heard the room get quiet, what I did was I decided to not just pray for our group, I decided to pray for everybody in the room. Okay, Father, remind people that the Thanksgiving is called, was a Thanksgiving to God holiday. Okay, and remind them, Father, as I hope all these people in the room just have a wonderful Thanksgiving with family, but it's not just about family, it's about God and where it all, and did that, included everybody in it, okay, and then amen, and sat down, okay? Well, as I sat down, there was a couple over here, an older couple. They were just staring at me and staring at me. So I got up, I went over, sat down at their table, and had a conversation. They were a Lutheran couple, but they had just never seen anybody just, you know, be overt about that before, but in a friendly way, not in a rude, shove-it-down-your-throat type of way. We had the most fascinating talk, gave them a book, fantastic. Before we left, a waitress came over and said, she wasn't our waitress. She came over and said, hey, sir. She said, yeah. She said, I just want to tell you, it's really good to see people pray before they eat. She said, in this restaurant, I want to know, we don't see it very often. It was just good to see you pray. And she said, pray in whose name? Jesus' name. She actually said that to me, one of the waitresses, that she was standing over there listening when I didn't even know she was listening to the prayer and do that, okay? But it's not just about standing up, but it's how you do it. Does that make sense? The humbleness and the kindness, we'll talk about in the second talk about the graciousness of God today and do that, okay? Christ stated that when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came, the disciples would pray to the Father in the name of Christ. Don't forget that, okay? John 16. Accordingly, we find that after the coming of the Spirit of the day of Pentecost, the early church is characterized by prayer. Acts 2. That's what you knew the church by. One of the things by was their prayer under the leadership of the apostles, okay? The church praises God for the gift of his Son and his Spirit and petitions God in times of difficulty, Acts 4, okay? So we petition God when we go through difficult times. Now, it's almost kind of what Andrew said. I had it here in my notes. But if your church, and I had a pastor, we were talking about this one day, if your church decided to throw a prayer meeting on Tuesday night, all right, or a church barbecue on Wednesday night, all right, which one do you think would have more attendance from the people at your church? Which one? Okay, we have a problem here, don't we? See, we have a problem here, okay, because the church of 2010 does not many times look like the church of the book of Acts all those years ago. And the problem isn't Jesus Christ. The problem isn't Almighty God, and the problem isn't the Holy Spirit. The problem's me. The problem's us. Okay, and so even if you see your church venturing into kind of emergent or kind of just wanting to be, you know, looking good in men's eyes type thing, that doesn't mean I have to, is that right? No, God's always going to have his remnant. He is always going to have his remnant of prayer warriors. He's always going to have his remnant of soul winners. I want to make sure in the coming days I stay within that remnant and I don't move anywhere out of that remnant in the coming days and do that, okay? In Paul's writings, the theology of prayer is most fully developed. The New Testament believer is a son, not only a servant, but a son. You've been by the spirit of adoption, okay? So when you come to God, we refer to him as what word? If you're a son, you refer to him as what? Father. Just look at the intimacy there, okay? Father, okay? And you know, we all have dads, you know, you don't come arrogantly to a father, Okay, you come graciously and humbly to a father and thankful. Father's Day was a couple weeks ago, and I just wrote my dad a nice long letter for Father's Day, just thanking him for being my dad and things I look back on in life, even though I was a tough little kid for a stretch, just thanking him for things he did in my life. Really, as I get older, don't we appreciate a little bit more as we look back and do that? I used to teach an all-boys school and had a lot of boys there that did not have their dad in the home growing up. And if you don't understand the trouble that causes, it's in one of my DVDs downstairs, just the trouble it causes. I just spoke in some prisons 2 weeks ago. I asked the prisoners, how many of you men did not grow up with your biological father in the same household with you as a child? And right about 80% of the hands went up inside the prison. I said, how many of you men have children? Okay, not the same hands, but right about 80% of the hands. I said, any of you men see the problem here? You see, it's that vicious cycle that sin will follow, the sin of the father will follow to the what? The third and the fourth generation. So how do you break that? One way you break that, if you're in this room and you say, I do, that means I do for the rest of your life. There's no opt-out clause. And once you understand there's no opt-out clause, okay, you'll make it work. Somehow, some way, you'll make it work. Yes or no? Yes. You just put the time in there and do that. I had a boy email me one day. He said, in my immediate family, I've had 7 divorces in my immediate family. Okay? The kid emailed me, and he said, you can be rest assured I will never get divorced. Or he said, I will not get what? Married. He's seen the pain that it caused, and he said, I am not going to be the further of that pain in people's life and do that, okay? I was in a church, it was about a year ago. Somehow we got on the topic of marriage and stuff, and I was trying to figure out what's the longest someone had been married? And we had 30 years, 40. I said, anyone more than 40? And this older couple in the back, they raised their hands up, and I said, how long have y'all been married? They said, 62 years. I'm like, 62 years? I mean, don't you just even think 62 is old? You know, let alone 62 years of marriage. I was like, wow. And so I looked at him, I said, perfect and smooth the entire time. And the wife, she didn't say a word. She sat there and she went, she said, nope. It was funny. I said, but are you glad you stuck it out and stayed together? And in unison, these two older people with nice wrinkly faces and white hair sat there and they went, mm-hmm. They were very glad they stuck it out. Marriage isn't perfect, but we can stick it out to the end, is it not? And it's a great testimony, you people here, that stick it out for the younger folk coming along, that we don't throw the towel in after 7 years because it didn't. Because when you say, I do, you never say, these are going to be the best 7 years of my life. You never say that. I just ran into a couple on a honeymoon in the Atlanta airport, and they were going to Jamaica for their honeymoon. They had just flown in, and I had a pretty nice, semi-stern talk with them. Don't you dare do anything that would separate you two. You make sure it sticks together. I don't even know their faith. I just went at that first, okay, then did a little witnessing afterwards, but I just said, stick it out and make it work and do that. That's the testimony that we have. So remember, we come to God as Father, as a Son. And remember, the church is encouraged to come to God, to his throne of grace, but what's the word that's used in Hebrews? It's come what? Boldly to the throne of grace. Isn't there times you need to ask your dad something? You just boldly pick up the phone, or you boldly go over your dad's house, you ask a question. It's the same thing. I can boldly come, and that's not an arrogant thing. I can boldly come there in humbleness to our Father, okay, when it's needed, Hebrews 4. I pray for favor a lot. That's one thing I do. I pray for favor. And one of the reasons I pray for favor a lot is because I know I don't deserve it. Okay, I don't deserve favor. I deserve hell when I take my last breath, but I don't get it when I walk out of here because of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? So I pray for God's favor, but that keeps me humble because when I see favor given to me right before my eyes, I know where it came from, okay? It came from the Most High God. So that's one thing I pray for favor a lot and do that. Grab your Bibles, go to the book of Psalms, okay? Now, if you don't have a Bible, there's some in the front pews in front of you, all right? So go to the book of Psalms chapter 4. Psalms, go to chapter 4. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to go through a bunch of verses in this message. So go to Psalms 4. Let's go right to verse 1. To the chief musician of Neganoth, a psalm of David, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my what? prayer. I pray all the time, Father, hear my prayer as I send it up to you and do that, okay? Go to Psalm 5 and go to verse 3. Psalm 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the, what? Morning. O Lord, in the, what? Morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up, okay? How are you starting your day? Are you starting your day ready to be in tune with God's will? Or you're starting your day, going through your day, then all of a sudden at 10 p.m., 11 p.m., midnight, you start throwing your prayers up to God, okay? You set the tone for the day. I used to teach school, and when teaching school, your first couple minutes of a class is very important because you're setting the tone for the next 50 minutes of this classroom, okay? I used to be a basketball coach. Very important. The players knew in the first couple minutes how Mr. Coach Cahill was going to be in this practice. I had to set the tone, okay, that we're going to be serious about an hour and a half here and do this, okay? You set the tone, all right? We need to set the tone as well. But too many times we wake up and we turn on television, we watch some Good Morning America show or something, okay? We go to work, we've got some secular radio station blaring stuff into our head as we're just trying to kill time and wake up. Then we walk into the office, okay, and we get our cup of coffee, we talk with people about nothing on the topic of God. Then we go through, and did I even start it the right way? As the book of Psalms says, in the morning with God, okay? I want to encourage you, okay, in the morning to start that. I'm going to show you something in just a second that I do to start my mornings and do that, okay? Go to Psalm 39. Go to Psalm 39. And go to verse 12. Psalm 39, verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give an ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my, what? Tears. For I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Okay, as my tears. You ever pray and tears come to your eyes as you weep about the things of God or weep for lost people? I had a guy email me today, Eric Hickson. He's a youth pastor, but he's a soul-winning machine. He makes me look like nothing. He's just a bold, bold man of God. I love this guy. But he was out witnessing. He ran into one of his high school buddies who was very serious about Jesus Christ in high school. I know some of you high school kids back here went to FCA stuff. Okay, we're serious about God in high school. Ran into him 30 years later, still serious about God, ditched the whole shooting match, nothing to do with it, angry with God, nothing to do with it. And this guy emailed me and said he was praying that night, just weeping over this guy's soul. How did he get to the point of ditching God and Jesus Christ and doing this? Okay, it just broke his heart, but it doesn't stop this guy. He got a phone number, they're keeping in touch. The guy said he was going to come to church with him, so you don't know if that wasn't the divine appointment that they ran into each other one more time, because he knows his life isn't finishing well, this guy is. And that's why God can bring that high school person, the person that's gonna rub you the right way to get you to rethink about the topic of God and do that, okay? But tears can come to our eyes. Don't turn there, but Psalm 64, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. I don't have to fear the enemy, okay, because God preserves me from that. Now go to Proverbs 15, okay? Go forward a little bit and go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, and go to verse 8. I found this verse. I just loved it. Proverbs 15, and go to verse 8, all right? The sacrifice of the wicked is a what? An abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. I was reading this, I was like, don't you want to bring delight to the Most High God? You know, when your prayer is of the upright, someone living for God, we'll talk about it in just a second, okay? It's a delight to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to pray as we go through our life, as we're walking through life and praying for these opportunities. I'm always praying for God to put opportunities in front of me. Two Thanksgivings ago, we always go to the same place to eat every Thanksgiving, my family. There's a lady in front of me in the buffet line, and so she was taking too long, and I was hungry, and so it's always a problem for me. And so I just decided, and I looked, and she was wearing some dog tags. And usually ladies don't wear dog tags, okay? Mamas don't wear dog tags. So I said, hey, ma'am, how are you? Remember, we have to strike up the conversation with most people. All right? Remember what I taught you a couple years ago. Sharing your faith isn't a presentation. Sharing your faith is a conversation. Okay? Jesus had a conversation with the woman at the well. He had a conversation with the rich young ruler. Okay? I go out and have conversations all the time. Okay, but I make sure the conversation, at some point, I'll present the truths of God during the conversation. So we can all have conversations, correct? Yes or no? Yeah, we all do it all the time. The question, how do I get it to an eternal conversation? I said, ma'am, I said, by the way, I said, is your son in the military? She said, yes, he is. I said, did he die? She said, yes, he did. I said, ma'am, how has that affected your faith in God with your son dying? She looked at me and said, tragedy does one of two things. It either drives you directly to Almighty God or it drives you directly what? Away. I use that term. I say it all the time. And I had a woman say the exact thing right at me who just went through tragedy. So I made a very simple statement. Ma'am, how did it drive you? She said, oh, she said, I'm a very, very strong Christian woman. It drove me closer and closer to Lord Jesus Christ. And what was very difficult for me as a mother is my son went to Iraq as a lost guy. Okay? And he would start sending me letters. And she said, the last letter I got from him is, Mom, I'm not going to see you again. I just don't feel like I'm going to make it back. He's some premonition inside of him. He wasn't going to make it back, okay? He said, Mom, I just want to let you know that I'm okay. I've repented my sins. I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, Mom, okay? If something happens, I'm going to be okay, Mom, okay? And that was the last letter she ever got from her son. But as difficult as it was, okay, she told me because of Jesus Christ, she's been able to handle the losing of her son through all this and do this. Well, I ended up buying the meal. There was four of them. I bought their Thanksgiving dinner and stuff. She came over and was so thankful, gave her some books. She's been in touch since then and stuff, okay? But I'm always praying for those opportunities in front of me when I do that. About a month ago, 2 months ago, I'm in Iowa. I get to travel and fly in, so I just decided to eat Saturday night before I had to preach Sunday morning. I go to this restaurant someone recommended, and there was the wait was way too long. And is anyone impatient like your speaker? I'm extremely impatient, okay? I could never live in Russia and stand in line for 2 hours for bread. I could never do it. I would move to Siberia or something. I don't know. And but so I just left and went to another restaurant. But I always pray to go to the right restaurant to meet the right people. I can eat anywhere. I want to meet the right people. Go in this restaurant, talking with my waiter and stuff. I already talked with the lady up front. And the manager comes over and is doing something at my table. Managers hardly ever come to your table. And so I wimped out, didn't say anything to him and stuff, and let him walk. Does anyone ever wimp out before? Ever wimp out? Okay, so does your speaker, okay. Well, all of a sudden, he comes back to the table a second time. The manager. Managers don't come to the table, okay? And I'm like, so I know something's up at this point. So I strike up a conversation. We start talking. He tells me when he was a young boy at a camp, he was molested by the camp director. He had to go to the police. He had to bring the charges against it. He had to testify in court against this man. He winds up getting 40 letters from other boys who were molested by the same guy. The guy tells me the letters were, if I would have come out sooner, if I would have said something sooner, this might not have happened to you. So not only are the boys dealing with the tragedy of what happened, they're now feeling this extra guilt from Satan that will try to throw other stuff on top of the fire sometimes and make them feel bad about this now later in life, okay? Then he tells me that his wife, her ex-husband shot and killed their 8-year-old daughter, okay, and then committed suicide himself. And that was all within the last year, okay? So Mike is telling me this at this table. Then he said, I'll be right back. He had to walk away. And so I'm sitting at the table, tears well up my eyes. I said, God, my life is so easy. My life is so easy. If you don't witness, you lose perspective in life, okay? See, my life is, I've got Jesus Christ. And you think you have problems, go meet someone who lives that life. I have no problems. There's nothing that's a problem in my life compared to that man, okay? And I've got Jesus Christ. But I know the only hope for him is what? Jesus Christ. So when he came back to the table, he was a Catholic gentleman. We had this interesting talk about being born again, what that means, salvation through Christ. Gave him one of my books. He's already contacted me. He was so thankful for the conversation and do that, okay? But that's why I'm praying for those opportunities to do that. I was just at a macaroni grill in Atlanta with a friend, and I'm walking out. struck up a conversation with a waitress, not ours, walking out. Do you like to read? I said, yeah, I love to read. I said, hey, I wrote this book called One Heartbeat Away. I think you may like it. And so I just handed it to her. She said, oh, very interesting. I said, why? She said, 1 week ago, someone handed me a flyer for this book to pick up a free copy of it. Okay? The funniest thing to the whole thing was, me and Paul were going to meet at P.F. Chang's with his family. P.F. Chang's was completely packed, and there was a line, and I'm extremely what? Impatient. And so I called him, I said, let's go somewhere else, okay? But I asked God to order me, order my steps, and we wound up at that restaurant with that lady over there, you see, and then something else happened at the same restaurant as well, okay? So I always pray to stop at the right people to eat. Many times I'll buy the person's food behind me. So I witness the people in the drive-through window. Hey, how much are the people behind me? And so I'll pay their bill. Then I'll give them a book or something and say, hey, just tell them a Christian person wanted to bless them, da-da-da-da-da. Well, I was passing through Alabama late traveling one night, so I just stopped real quick at Burger King, got something to travel home. And the next day I get an email from the car behind me. Okay? Because my email's in the book. And so I get an email from them. By the way, when you were at the Burger King and you were taking so long, okay? And I was witnessing the person back and forth, and I'm just having a good time. And sometimes I forget about the people behind me. You were taking so long, okay? And my wife in the car with me is pregnant, okay? And we're wondering, why is that man taking so long, okay? We get up to the window. Come to find out, you have paid for our meal. And sir, if you only knew right now in our life how tight, what? Money is right now. And what an absolute blessing that was to us that you picked up our meal that day and did that, okay? But see, I pray to go to the right places to meet the right people. Then I just let God just order all the steps from there. I just have to be faithful and do that. I was in Pittsburgh about 2 months ago with a friend of mine. We're driving around trying to find a restaurant on a Friday evening. And full. And I'm extremely impatient. And I said, nope, keep going. I keep going. And so we finally found this Johnny Carina's restaurant. So we go in this Johnny Carina's. We witnessed the two ladies up front. The manager walks over like halfway through the conversation, which was very interesting. So it's weird when someone walks into halfway of a conversation. So we just include her in it. We finish. We give some books out. Go eat. Come back. Chat with them a little bit more. The manager says, you know, my mom would like one of your books. I said, well, let me sign one for your mom. Da, da, da. Gave it to her to send to her mom. The next week, I get an email from her mother. Her mother emails me from South Carolina. This is Pittsburgh. I have been praying for somebody to go witness to my what? Daughter. Okay? I've been praying for it. Okay? Sir, you were the answer to that prayer. My daughter's thinking much, much more about this topic now, okay? Because you, if you ever get an email or someone tells you you're the answer to someone's prayer, you feel about yay high, and God feels about yay big that he would actually use you to order your stuff. I live in Atlanta. Pick me up, drop me in Pittsburgh, all these different restaurants. No, 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 no. Yes, to the right one that had the lady's mom praying in South. Don't we serve a great God? We serve this great God. You see, that's the God I want to be under and continue to watch this, but that's why I pray for that to happen as I live my life. I just spoke at Kansas State. This lady walked up to me. She said, do you remember me? She was a student at Kansas State. I said, I know your face. She said, I was your waitress a year and a half ago in Topeka, Kansas. Okay? I said, did I witness to you? She said, you better believe you witnessed to me. I said, did I give you a good tip? She said, you blessed me very well that evening. Okay, I'm a student here at Kansas State now. I said, how's your faith going now that you're at college? Because college can really be rough on faith today, okay? We had this fasting give and take, but if I wouldn't have taken the time to witness to her a year and a half ago, I would not have met her. She would have said, oh, look at that speaker up there, you know, a year and a half later at Kansas State, okay? And that's how God orders our steps and do that. Go to Colossians 4. All right, go to Colossians 4, 2 through 6, okay? Colossians 4, 2 through 6. This is one of my favorite pieces of scripture, Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So to Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Now, you teenagers in the room, I used to teach high school, and I was at a Christian high school. Some of my students, they called this Colossians 4, 2 through 6, they called it the witnessing paragraph is what they called it. Okay, the witnessing paragraph. I had students of mine who would leave their Bible open to Colossians 4, 2 through 6 next to their bed, and they would read it every single night. Okay, just to be that reminder of what they do as believers upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So Colossians 4, 2 through 6, it's only just a few verses, but it is loaded. Continue in what? Prayer. It's a continual thing. And watch. Keep your eyes open. In the same with thanksgiving. Make sure your prayers are thankful to God, always thanking. Even if the situation doesn't seem thankful at the first, if you'll persevere, you're going to see why it's thankful at the end. Okay, you'll see that later, what happens either that day or it might be some years from now when you really see what the situation becomes, okay? With all, praying also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance. Pray for open doors. I pray for it all the time. God, open doors as I go through this life, okay, that I'm talking with the people you want me to talk with, okay? Give us utterance. We open up our mouth. We speak, all right? And then it says, to speak the mystery of who? Christ. We're here to glorify God, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? For which I am also in bonds, in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Speak again. Use those voices, all right? To walk in wisdom towards them that are without. So walk with wisdom towards outsiders. Do our actions matter when it comes dealing with lost people, yes or no? Huge. We're going to talk about that in the second talk. Huge, our actions matter, okay? Because they're listening to us and they're what? Watching us. Once they know you're a Christian, once you slap that fish on the back of your car, okay, once you write on the doorpost of your house or whatever you do, okay, once you say that, okay, they expect you to be different, yes or no? Yes. And by the way, we should be different. And by the way, we should want to be different. That's our old self. That's not our current self out there on the boardwalk and stuff, okay? We want to be different, okay? Matter of fact, that's one of the best compliments you'll ever get in life, when people notice how different you are. I'll go back to high school reunions and my buddies will say, dude, you are so different. Because dude is different, very different. Because when God molds you into a new creation, you're different. You can't be the same anymore and do that. And you don't want to be the same, okay? Redeeming the time, using your time wisely. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You want your conversation to be spicy. They're going to remember your conversation. What's the one word thrown into any conversation that will always change the flavor of a conversation? What's the word? It's Jesus. That's exactly right. It's the word Jesus, okay? God, kind of generic in our culture, what that means, even when we know God's not generic. But the word Jesus spices up a conversation, yes or no? Because there's a reaction to that word. There's always a reaction to that word. That's why we have to talk about Jesus Christ with people, okay? And never be ashamed of that word, because that's the name that every knee is going to bow to and every tongue is going to confess to. On earth, under the earth, above the earth, okay? No need to be ashamed of that name, Jesus Christ, okay? Satan's not ashamed to turn it into a filthy, dirty curse word. I shouldn't be ashamed to use it to glorify the Lord on the boardwalk, the Atlanta airport, everywhere we go and do that, okay? That you may know how you ought to answer every man, okay? So that's what my students, they would read it all the time. Next to them, leave it next to their beds, and they would just start memorizing this paragraph, okay? So when you're witnessing in groups, it's always fun to witness in groups of twos, threes, and four. If you've never witnessed before, go in nice small groups. Don't go in a group of 15. That may scare people, okay? So twos, threes, and fours, okay? So if one person's speaking, what can the other people be doing? Praying, and I heard it, listening, okay? So you're praying, okay, for God's favor to happen here. Open up that heart. If he can open up Lydia's heart, he can open up that heart on the boardwalk, okay? That's my whole mindset. I see it in the Bible. I see it in front of my eyes in 2010. Then when someone gets stuck, you can jump in as well. But see, if you're already praying, your heart's ready to go, you see? Okay, you already have that humble spirit, that gracious spirit ready to join into the conversation and do that, okay? I pray for God to make sure I talk with the right person when I'm out there. A lot of people on the boardwalk, a lot of people here, but I want to make sure that we each talk with the right person that's out there, okay? I was in a mall one day with some of my students, and I watched Spence. He was a 17-year-old student of mine. He walked and he sat down next to a Hindu lady. She had a dot on her head. She was from India. He sat down next to, I watched him. He was doing good, so I just left him alone and went on my way. Hour later, Spence comes and finds me. He said, Mr. Kale, you wouldn't believe what happened. I said, what happened, Spence? He said, Mr. Kale, I sat down next to a lady. I was doing a little survey approach. Ma'am, can you help me out? I'm working on a project. Sure. If you die tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven? She said, the lady just put her head down and started weeping and just started crying. and just crying, suspense, what did you do? He said, Mr. Cale, I didn't know what to do. I just sat there. I said, okay, that sounds like me. And I said, okay. I said, well, what happened? She stopped crying. All of a sudden, she looks over and says, 1 week ago, my 17-year-old son was killed in a drunk driving accident, in a car accident, okay? And Spence was how old? 17, witnessing to the mother. So what was mom thinking the whole time? This would be just like my son sitting right here and doing this, okay? I could have witnessed to the lady, but wasn't Spence the right one to witness to the lady? Oh, they talked for a full hour on the topic of God and Jesus Christ. Got to give her some material. They hugged each other at the end. Sometimes Middle Eastern people, especially some Muslims, there's no touch between other people and stuff like that, but she would hug him at the end and do that. But see, I could have talked with her, but it would never have been remotely close to Spence talking. You see the difference there, okay? So we pray to meet the right people, that I talk with one that God wants me to talk with, okay? I always pray for divine appointments. A pastor told me the other day, he said, remember, if you pray for divine appointments, whoever is standing in front of you is a what? Divine appointment. So don't forget that, okay? And it was an interesting thought. It just kind of hit me when the pastor said this to me. Because you might be thinking, no, this isn't the one. But if he's standing or she's standing right, if they're sitting right next to you on a plane flight, it is the one, okay? You can't say, no, God made a mistake. This isn't the one, okay? So remember, who's ever in front of you is the divine appointment, right? Go to Ephesians 6. So back up just a bit here. Go to Ephesians 6. Now, as soon as I mention Ephesians 6, what comes to mind? Okay, we always think the armor of God, all right? We always think that in Ephesians 6, okay? When you get to the armor of God and you finish through that little section, I always tell people, keep reading. Don't stop reading. Verses 18 to 20 are fascinating, all right? Watch what happens in verses 18 to 20 here with Paul. Praying what? Always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Always want to be led by God in the Holy Spirit. Are there other spirits in our world today? Huge, huge. And you're going to see a lot more of it manifesting crazily in the days to come before the Lord comes back, okay? Led by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may speak for God. Paul is praying that you will pray that I will speak for God, to open my mouth, what? Boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, Christ, just like we read a second ago, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. He's in chains, but are we all ambassadors for Jesus Christ? Yes or no? Yes, and when a new president comes in, many times what they do is they recall the ambassadors from different countries, okay? They take the ambassadors back and they put their own ambassadors in. But if an ambassador to Ireland from the United States government, okay, doesn't represent the United States, but usually it means representing the president, it's kind of how it works in our culture. If they don't represent him well, they do something, they will recall the ambassador when they don't represent the president or the country well. Anybody glad God doesn't recall us when we don't represent him well? That we get chance after chance after chance after chance. I mean, God doesn't do that. It's the graciousness of God that he gives us those opportunities. But I want to represent him well and do that. That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. It hit me real quick. If Paul is praying for boldness, to speak boldly, then we need to what? Pray to speak boldly. I mean, wasn't this Super Paul? Didn't he just like rip his tunic, big S on his chest, Super Paul? I mean, couldn't he leap over this tallest synagogue in a single bound? Wasn't this Super Paul? No, Paul was human just like we are. And if Paul needs prayer to speak boldly, so do what? So do we. And always remember that, okay? So when I go through my wimpy stretches, I stop and I begin to pray for God to give me that boldness, because if it was good enough for Paul to pray it, it's good enough for me to pray it as well. I was coming out, my computer messed up again. I didn't want to take it in because I knew they were going to keep it for a couple of days, but I could do some stuff. So finally I said, that's it, I'm taking it in. I go into the computer place in Atlanta. Walking out of the computer place as I walk in is one of my high school graduates from the same class I was way back in 1980. Okay, he walks out. Dwayne, how are you doing? How you doing? Mark Cahill, let me show you something. He pulls up his cell phone, pulls up his Facebook page. He just put a message on there last night. Hey, if any of you people in our graduating class haven't read the book One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven by Mark Cahill, you need to go read it. Okay? He just put that on his face the night before. He's going through a difficult time. We have this interesting encounter. But I pray for those appointments that happen, okay? But I want to make sure I'm speaking boldly as I do that. And then a couple of the guys that work at the computer place are atheists, and my computer keeps breaking. And so I have to keep what? Going back and befriending my atheists and having a good time, okay? But it's, I just know it's God, even though I'm frustrated, but it's just God working his wonders, okay, to go out there. But I pray for that, to be bold. I was on a flight to L.A., and I'm going up to use the restroom, and the curtain's closed by where the flight attendants do their stuff. All of a sudden, I hear from behind the curtain, Holy Spirit. I'm like, what? So I pull the curtain back, and I'm a little crazy. And I walk in. There's a flight attendant praying for a man who's dying of cancer right there, okay? He's going out for his last thing a doctor in L.A. can do for him, okay? 50-year-old man, had like 8 or 9 kids. He was just struggling, okay? Well, I went back there. We started praying for this guy. I said, sir, even if God heals your cancer, you're still going to what? At some point, you're still going to what? You're still going to die. We need to find out where you're going. Okay? And then we got into a whole topic about God, Jesus Christ. He was Catholic, and of course there's a mixture of all the right terms with a bunch of wrong terms in Catholicism. You see, that's why it's tough for some of them. And fascinating, I talked to him again when the flight landed in L.A. and stuff, and he said, my family will be in touch with you and stuff, okay? But I have to be bold and step into a situation. I'm in the Cincinnati airport, I'm walking, I'm always praying for the right people to meet, and I'm walking, and there is I overhear the word, two guys talking, overheard the word apologetics, the two guys talking. So I just walked over, butted in, I said, what are y'all talking about? Well, this guy was witnessing to his boss, okay? So I popped in, his boss had good questions, so I helped him with them, just answer. And the guy said, wait here for me. He had to walk his boss to let him go on his flight. So he walked me, came back. He said, my boss is lost as I'll get out. I have been witnessing him for years now. Thank you so much for popping in there. So I got him some of my books. We kept in touch email. Sends me an email about a year later. He said, I'm at my desk at work weeping and crying. I just got a phone call from my boss, and he said, I keep telling you, I read all the books you send me, I read all this stuff. He said, I haven't read any of it. I want nothing to do with your God, nothing to do with your Jesus Christ. Okay, and the guy was weeping. Not only did his boss, what? Lie to him. See, he found out more about the character of his boss when that happened. But it broke his heart even more that his boss, what, wanted nothing to do with who? Jesus Christ. And that's what should break our hearts and do that. But see, this guy had a humble spirit trying to witness to his boss. But we have to boldly speak that to people and do that, okay? Let's go to, I want to show you, I'm running out of time. Let's go to Isaiah 51. Then I'll speed up here real quick. Go to Isaiah 51. This is a verse that's really helped me as I get out there and share my faith and stuff, okay? Go to Isaiah 51. Going to go to 11, 12, and 13. But 12 is the one that just nailed me. So go to Isaiah 51. I'm going to go to 11, 12, and 13. Okay? Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Should we be singing about the Lord just like we were doing a second ago? Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest, okay, that thou shouldest be afraid of man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which we made as grass, and forgottest the Lord thy Maker, and have stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Back at verse 12, okay? Be not afraid of men who are going to die. I remind myself all the time, Mark, do not fear men who are going to die. There's times I have to step away when something happens, and said, Mark Cahill, do not fear men who are going to die. It seems like the most rejection I get is from a white man in a three-piece suit, okay? It seems like that person is the one who won't take a track, who won't get in a conversation. It just seems that. Now, yesterday I got shot down by a guy completely opposite of him, okay? So they come in all flavors and everything else. But it seems like that's the one I seem to have the most fear of, okay? And so I had a guy the other day, a white man, three-piece suit. Hey, did you get one of these? Hand him a track. He looked at me and just looked at me and stared at me and just walked on past me. I stepped to the side. I said, Father, I had just entered the Atlanta airport, so I was just getting started for my day. Well, I've already been started. I was on the train, but my first time at the airport. And I said, Father, do not let me today fear men who are going to die. They don't determine how my day is going to go for you, Father, okay? I had the most fascinating day at that airport. But if I let one of them stop me, I can't be that bold man he's called me to do. I was, I got a phone call from a guy in Atlanta. He read one of my books. He wanted to meet me. And he was a 90-year-old gentleman. But every phone call was, can you call me back, please? ASAP. ASAP, please call me back. You know? And all of a sudden he called me, this is Clyde, Dr. Clyde again. Can you call me back? Okay, ASAP. Can you call me back, please? Thank you very much. Okay, hang on. Now, nothing to me is ASAP. I don't deal with ASAP in life because many times you're ASAP because you didn't plan correctly. Now you want me to jump through hoops because you didn't plan right. Is that correct? That's most ASAPs. Now, if someone's dying and going to hell, that's an ASAP. But that's about it for me, okay? But then I thought for a second. Well, that's just, it's how I live my life. And then I thought for a second, he's 90 years old. I bet when you hit 90, pretty much everything's ASAP, is it not? I guess because you don't have a lot of time. So I figured, you better call him back. So I called him back, and we're talking. So he said, let's go to lunch. So we meet for lunch. I pull up to the... It was me, I'm sorry. I pull up to the restaurant, Golden Corral. He's a 90-year-old man standing in front of the handing tracts to people walking into the Golden Corral, okay? My heart is broken as I drive into this place, okay? We go in and sit down, just a wonderful man of God. I mean, he used to be a tent preacher back in the day, traveling America. He was just the most interesting character. But as we sit down, there's three police officers sitting over there. And I love to bless policemen and stuff. So I said, hey, how y'all doing? I walked over there. How you doing? Good. I've written some books that a lot of officers and stuff like, and we love to bless. So here's this. I said, I don't have enough. Let me go to my car. So I go to my car, get some more books, DVDs, give them to all the police. And they seemed pretty thankful, except this one guy. He wouldn't look up, wouldn't look at me, nothing. I mean, it was kind of awkward, okay? So I just do what I do, and I shook his hand, thanks. I shook his hand up, thanks. Hope you all have a great day. My info's on the back. If I ever can help you out, just thanks. Have a great day. And we went and sat down with Dr. Clyde and finished. A week later, I get an email from that gentleman right there who didn't say a word to me. He said, my name is Detective Blissett. He said, you walked up to our table in the Golden Corral. He said, if you remember correctly, I wasn't, you know, very, you know, kind of kind and friendly to you there. And I'm thinking, reading the email, uh-huh. And I mean, that's my feeling. He said, I just have to tell you, as a police officer, I've been burned many times. People always want to come and they want something okay from us and stuff. I've just been burned so many times. And he said, but I did listen to what you had to say. He said, in the last week, I've read both your books in the last week. I grew up in church. I know Jesus Christ is the right answer. I've repented of my sins to make sure I was born again. Okay, I am born again. I have shared my faith more in the past week than I've done in my entire life. Okay? He said, would you do me a favor? He said, I need some more books as I'm witnessing here in the police department. Can you send me some as I'm reaching out to these people? Okay? He said, by the way, I'm a homicide detective. I get very hard because I see dead bodies all the time. He said, I just get hard-hearted a little bit. He said, but now when I'm at those scenes and I'm seeing the dead body, he said, my next question is, where did that soul just go that left the body? God has literally transformed this Detective Blissett into a bold, but we've talked a few times on the phone, just a bold man of God. So remember when you're innocent, we walk by faith, not by what? Sight, okay? My eyes said, what am I doing at this table? And God says, I'm about to grab a man's heart and be a bold man of God for you, okay? I was preaching at a church in Atlanta. I stopped at a BP gas station. I stopped and do some things. And then as I go back in, there's a guy walking out. Hey, did you get one of these? And try to give him a track. And he said, I'm not interested. It's kind of hard with an edge. I said, sir, I said, well, you know, you'll be interested the day you die, is what I said. And, I try to say things to see, because sometimes you can hook somebody and they'll get into a conversation. I've had a hook statement and they'll start talking to you and stuff, okay? And so he said something to me. And so I said, why do you hate Jesus so much? I'll ask people that question. Why do you hate Jesus so much? Because they can't hate me. They don't know me. They have to hate Jesus. That's really what it has. I said, why do you hate Jesus so much? He said, I don't hate Jesus. I hate you. Okay, that's what he said. I was like, well, welcome to Sunday. And so I said, okay. So I walked in. So I'm standing on the corner talking with the lady inside. Well, he drives by, rolls his window down, and starts yelling at the lady who works there, why don't you get these religious people out of this gas station? Okay? And, the problem was she was standing there reading the book I wrote, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. I had just given it to her. She said, this is really good, okay? And so God was giving me favor, okay, with the people there, you see, because I pray for that. And then, so I walked over to his car. I said, sir, I said, the only reason I share this is because I care about your soul, and I care where your soul is going to spend eternity. That's a statement I use all the time. It's not a statement, I mean it. I care about your soul. I care where your soul is going to spend eternity. As I walk up to the car, he reached down and he pulls a gun out when I walk up to the car. Now, as he pulls the gun out, okay, he had it in between the little, so he starts pulling it out. All of a sudden, his hand jiggled and he drops the gun. And the gun falls back down in there, okay? Now, I don't know if he was nervous. I don't know if an angel just tapped his hand real quick and it just dropped out of his hand. I don't know, but I don't have to worry about that stuff. Okay, because I live in a little tough area of Atlanta, gunshots and stuff and things like that, and my mom's worried about me living there. I said, Mom, there's not a bullet on planet Earth that can touch this man until God says there's a bullet that can touch this man. Okay, I firmly believe that. And I said, Mom, and I'm skinny. If I see it coming, I'll turn, and it will just go right past me, Mom. And so she doesn't like that. She wants me to move. And but I don't worry about that, okay, and do that, okay? So a couple last things. One thing I do all the time, I did it this morning. I do this at my house in Atlanta. When I start my day, I go to my door, okay? And I said, Father, I stand at the threshold. I said, Father, I'm all yours today, okay? I'm all yours today. Use me to glorify your name, all right? I've got tracts with me. Use those. I have books. Father, put names in these books. I don't know who those people are. You put names in them, Father, okay? Matter of fact, I've gotten emails from people who I didn't give the book to. I signed a book for someone at Atlanta Airport. Either they left it on purpose or forgot it in the bookstore. A lady picked it up. She said, can I have this? It was signed to somebody. She said, well, it's not on our thing. Go ahead and take it. She read it on the plane flight and emailed me. So the book wasn't for the person I gave it to. It was for the next person who came along. I don't know. Father, open up my mouth. Give me boldness, Father God. Do not let me fear men who are going to die. Order these steps, these feet. Move me right, move me left. You move these things. Make sure I get on the right train in Atlanta, meet the right people. And Father, if you allow me to live to the end of the day, when I put my head on my pillow up in New Jersey, back in Atlanta, whatever it is, Father, show me why I was alive today. Okay, make sure it was for your glory. Then many times I'll say, and sometimes I'll say, Father, please use me before I get out of this hotel. Okay, and then I just step on a roller. Please use me as I'm just start my day in Atlanta. I do the same thing. I did that in a hotel. I walked outside. There was a lady cleaning rooms right there. Struck up a conversation about God and Jesus Christ. She looked at me and said, I prayed to God this morning. God, if you are real, show me you are real. And she said, you were the answer to that prayer this morning. And she was standing right outside my hotel room just after I said that prayer one morning and do that. You see, that's the great God that we serve. Don't turn there because I'm out of time, but just remember Isaiah chapter 1, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 1 verse 15. Okay? And when he spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. God says in the scriptures, he will not hear your prayers sometimes. Proverbs 28 verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Okay, remember this, okay? Obedience and prayer go together. Those who love me keep what? My commandments. Sometimes there's an issue why your prayer's not being answered. There's an area of disobedience in your life you need to repent of and get back in line with God. Okay, remember, he's very explicit in his scriptures. There's Isaiah 1:15 and Proverbs 28, verse 9, that they need to line up and do that as we live this life, okay? Then let's turn to the last verse, and we'll be done for you. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And this is just, everyone loves these little verses here, and I do too. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5, and then let's go to 16, 17, and 18. 5:16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without what? Ceasing. It's a way of life, okay? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, okay? Pray without ceasing. It's what we do. It's how we walk. It's how we talk. In the Olympics in 96, there was a big stretch of road right in front of the Hard Rock Cafe, these big Budweiser beer tents, and everyone hung on this strip, okay? And you'd walk on that road, and literally you could feel the darkness on this road. You could feel the evil presence on this road. One time I got to the top of that hill, I walked down that hill, got to the bottom. How many people did I witness to? Zero. I did a U-turn, went back up to the top, and so I stopped at the top. I began to what? Began to pray. I wasn't prayed upright. It was just kind of more of a fleshly desire, okay? I wasn't prayed upright. Got up there and prayed. It took me 2.5 hours to get to the bottom of that hill the next time. And I remember one specific guy from England that I chatted with, and he was all into evolution, macroevolution, Charles Darwin, and he looked at me as I walked away. He said, "Charles Darwin." I said, "You can put your faith in Charles Darwin." I said, "I'll put my faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll see who's going to be right at the last breath when we're all out of here, okay?" And I knew I had the right answer, but it was my job to make sure I spoke the truth to him, okay? Do it in love and bold and do that, but that's our job. I spoke to 6,000 teenagers at a conference at Purdue. What the kids didn't know was when I was off stage, I struck up a conversation with the stage manager. He had a big microphone on. He was running the whole stage. Well, I'm starting witnessing him. He's an atheist, okay? At Purdue. So I start witnessing. We're having a good time talking. I'm trying to show him the proofs of God. He's on his little thing. He said, "You're up." Okay. So it was my time to walk on stage and speak in front of 6,000 people. Okay. And he's standing right there. I said, "Oh, so I'm nervous. That's a lot of people." I said, "Okay." I said, "Do me a favor." He said, "What?" I said, "Don't go anywhere." I said, "I'll be right back." And so I walked on stage. And what none of the 6,000 people knew, I was in the middle of a conversation with an atheist off to the side of the stage. Gave the talk for an hour, finished, walked off the stage. And what did I do? Continued the conversation with Hal right off the side of the stage. And so none of the people knew that I was right in the middle of this conversation with this guy, okay? But see, I pray without ceasing. God gave me the right stage manager to make sure he was right there waiting for me, okay, as I walked up on this stage. But we have to boldly, you know, share our faith with those people and do that, okay? Last thing here. Too much material. Sorry about that. Go to Revelation verse 8. We'll close it for you. Revelation 8. Revelation 8, go to verse 4. Revelation 8, verse 4. "And the smoke of the incense, which came with the," what? "Prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Your prayers go up before God. When we send prayers up, God has those prayers, and God answers those prayers, okay? He answers those prayers. Monday, my tire was going flat for the second time. I just got it fixed 2 weeks ago. I'm going back, my tire's flat again, the same tire. "Didn't you fix it the first time?" Okay? So I have an attitude. And so as I drove to the place, I said, "Father, calm it down, calm it down. There's a reason I'm going back to this place. Just show me why, even with my little attitude, just calm it down and show me why." I go back to the place. The guy who was running the garage part of it said, "Hey, can we talk?" And he was a Christian man, and he wanted to date this girl that was a Muslim. Is that correct? "No, no, 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 no." And so he came up to me because I witnessed to him a week ago when I was up there with my first flat tire, okay? The guy, Nate, running the place, he wasn't there, the manager, the last time I was there. So we start talking. This was just Monday. We start talking. He said, "I'm 23 years old. I'm a former soldier, and I just recently tried to commit suicide." I said, "How did you do that?" He said, "I took my truck. I drive my truck at 70 miles an hour into a tree." And he pointed to this tree over here, and there's this huge tree. He said it was about that size. "When I hit the tree broke, okay? My car tumbled over twice, okay? I landed in a church parking lot, all right? I had scratches. My chest had a bruise on it because of when I hit the steering wheel," because he didn't put his seatbelt on. He was trying to kill himself. And he said he started screaming, "God, why did you let me live? Why did you let me live?" Got up, walked out of the car. I ran into him last Monday. I said, "Nate, let me tell you why God allowed you to live. Okay? It's to get right with his son, Jesus Christ." We had the most fascinating talk. Just this past Monday. But I pray for those events to happen and do that, okay? And I ask God to order my steps and do that. It happens all the time. I was in a hotel not a month or so ago in Nebraska. I prayed at the hotel. It's like I showed you. I said, "God, please use me before I walk out of this hotel." I go out. I walk out. Nothing happens. I drag my bag to the car. Nothing happened. But I was going to get some hot tea. I had a long trip to the Denver airport. So I go back in. I said, "Okay, something's going to happen when I go." So I go back in. I start witnessing to one of the guys working there. He had all these tattoos, wild up. We had a great talk. He had recently repented of his sins, become born again. He was just a neat guy with a good, gracious spirit. As we're there, a guy walks past me, and I always have tracks with me, and he walks past me. So I handed him a track. This guy walked past. He stops right next to me and starts reading the track. It was really awkward. He's just standing next to me reading the track. I'm like, "Okay." he walks away. He goes over, and him and his wife are looking at the track together. They were a little shorter than me, so I went over and I kind of leaned over him, and I said, "Do you like it?" He said, "No, no, no, not for us." Hands it back. I wouldn't take it though. I just kept my hand back. I wouldn't take it. And he said, "Now," I said, "Why not? Why not for you?" "No, no, no, no God, no God." I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Where's that accent from?" He said, "France." I said, "Really? You're from French, France, France?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Really?" So we start talking, okay? We start going back and forth. He said, remember the old statement from Friedrich Nietzsche or Nietzsche? God is what? God is dead. He kept saying, "God is dead. There is no God." I said, "Oh, don't even try it. If someone built this hotel, someone built this universe. Don't mess with me, okay? I kind of do it funny sometimes with people. It's like, there's a creator to this place. Don't even try it, okay?" I said, "Did you ever have a bad experience in a Christian setting?" He said, "You better believe I did." I said, "If you feel comfortable, would you tell me what happened?" He went to an all-boys Catholic school in France, and he told me about a Catholic priest, and he didn't have English or well, but he put like his hands on a wall and made the motion that the priest raped him when he was a kid. And that's his view of God, you see, is what that man did to him. And I looked at him, I said, "No. I said, no, that is not God. That had nothing to do with God. That's the fingerprints of Satan is what that was." I look at 9/11, fingerprints of Satan. I see fingerprints all the time. I look at a sunrise, a sunset, fingerprints of God is what that is, okay? Souls on the beach, fingerprints of God, okay? I know what God makes and what God doesn't make because I know my word. I'm studying my word a lot, okay? Talk with this man, gave him a one heartbeat away. He said he would take my book. At the end of it, I got to hug the man at the end of it. So here is a guy who had just nothing to do with God because of that experience in the past, yet that was a talk, a book, and a hug at the end from this guy from France right there in the middle before I left what? That hotel, just what I prayed that morning. A guy's radio show I do, he's 83 years old, and he says this all the time. I just love this statement. God is still on his throne, and prayer changes things. I love this. God is still on his throne, and prayer changes things. So no matter what you see with your eyes in the coming days, don't you ever forget, God is still what? On his throne. And prayer what? Changes things. Father, thank you again for having us up here. Thanks for giving us prayer as we see so much throughout the scriptures, Father God. I thank you for these prayers that we can send up to you as incense up into the heavenlies, Father. We thank you for that. Father, make sure our prayers line up with your will. What I want my prayers to do, draw me closer to you, to really become just an ambassador of yours that looks like your son, Jesus Christ, as I live my life for you. Father, we thank you for the prayers you give us for a favor. Make sure our prayers are humble. Even when we pray publicly, make sure they're humble and gracious to you and they bring glory to you, Father God. Whether a short prayer or a long prayer, that's not what it's judged on, is the length of the repetitives, but really our humble heart towards you. Father, help all of us in our prayer lives. And remind us, sometimes we just need to shoot up that short, quick prayer. Father, do not let me fear men who are going to die. You know, whatever it is out there on a boardwalk, in Atlanta airport, whatever, that will stand up for you, Father God. Thanks for hearing our prayers. You are the God of the universe. Seems like to me you'd be a little bit busy if I was God, but you hear the prayers of your humble servants and your followers. Wow, what a God you are. We're going to see you face to face soon. Let's make sure we're ready, but Father, let's make sure we get a whole lot of people ready here on planet Earth, ready to meet you as well in that born-again experience. So, Father, we thank you for it, and we do. We ask it in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.